Hello, and welcome to another episode of Wake Up with Wesley. I'm your host, Wesley, and today we are sitting with Ash E. Adams. Ash Adams.
You can call me Ashy Adams. Ashy has been my internet persona.
You know what happens to me? I laugh so hard when people call Bronson Brano. They call him his internet name because I'm like, oh my gosh, they think it's his name.
Me every time. I'm like, Bronos.
Yeah. Bronson. That's what you, to me, you are Ashy, but your name is
totally fine. It's totally fine. So my nickname, like the reason behind Ashy is that's what my little siblings call me. So when someone calls me Ashy, they like automatically sneak their way into my heart. It's just like an easy way to feel connected and comfortable with people because they're calling me by this very intimate nickname.
Yeah. Well, to me, you're Ashy. You're like Brono.
Perfect. Awesome. Do you prefer Wes or Wesley?
I don't know. Bronson is the first person that in my life that started calling me Wes. And it is like solely Wes. Before Bronson, everyone called me Wesley.
Interesting.
Now internet people are like, yo, Wes.
Oh, okay. So we have to talk about how I saw you in IKEA. And felt your aura before I even walked in the building.
Tell this story.
I was walking into IKEA with my husband, like totally random. Like we're all wearing masks, like hadn't been to IKEA in months. And I get to the front of the building and I had this very conscious thought, which is actually rare for me because I'm one of those people who doesn't have an internal dialogue. I don't like think in words usually. And I had this thought that just dropped in like, Wesley and Ozzy are here. I'm going to see Wesley and Ozzy so randomly. I don't even know if I've ever really like looked at a picture of Ozzy before.
That
like,
is so weird.
It was so weird. And I didn't say anything to my husband because I was like, I love running into people that I know out and about. And I was like, wouldn't it be fantastic if I just ran into Wesley Christensen? And then maybe 30 minutes go past and there you are in the middle of like the mirror section. And I like froze and almost started crying. I was like, oh my God, she's real. Like, it was just the most beautiful moment. And I was like,
why? And you were right. What is that about?
Right. And I'm not like that intuitive person who's always like, oh yeah, I'm always thinking things and then they happen. It was just, I honestly feel like I felt your aura because I felt a similar thing as I was like approaching your house.
Shit, man, did it feel good? I hope it felt good.
Amazing. And also, I got very emotional hearing your voice because you were talking to Brono.
Yes.
You were talking to Bronson and I got a little bit emotional hearing your voice because I was like, oh my gosh, like I've listened to every episode of your podcast. I'm like, I'm one of those people. I think it's weird when people are on podcasts or have a podcast and they don't listen, which I think you are.
Yeah.
And it was just so, I heard your voice and I was elated. I was like, this is, it's so beautiful. She's helped me so much.
And do I sound like how I do in real life 100%. When I'm yelling at my kids in IKEA?
100%. And anyway, it was just a beautiful experience. And I didn't say hi because I was like, yeah, she's with her kids. Like, anyway.
Okay, do you know how much I get that? I'm sure you get that too. People see me in public and then they tell me after the fact. They're like, I saw you and I'm like, oh. Like literally hug me. I wanna snuggle. Like I want to hug people. It's so crazy.
Honestly, I just didn't know how you were feeling about the whole corona thing.
Oh, I know. That really is damper. Yeah. It's killing my vibe, to be honest. Seriously. The corona vibe.
I'm 99% sure I had it too. So now I'm just one of those people who's like, oh, do I need to be like worried about this? Because I don't think I do. But it was at the beginning. So I couldn't get tested.
Okay, you wanna know what's crazy about what you just said? That I've had this knowing, and it's so weird because I feel connected to I'm connected to my children.
Yes.
But there is something with me and Ozzy where it's like, I think he might be like my twin flame. Like, I think he is me in a boy.
Can I read his palm?
Yes.
Okay,
would you?
Because you can kind of tell from that sort of thing.
Something about that little boy and me, I just get him so much. He gets me. It's weird.
That's so weird because I think you were with all three of your kids.
I was.
And your husband.
Yes.
But when I walked in, it was Wesley and Ozzy.
Yep.
Anyway.
That's why when he came, I'm like, it's complete.
Totally.
Something, it put a little period on the family. Like, oh, we're done.
Totally. I also think three is just a great number of kids to have.
You know what? Perfect. It is. Quality over quantity. Right? I think I would have lost my damn mind if I had one more. Like, it was, three is enough.
Totally.
For me.
Totally.
Shit. Okay, we haven't even told people what you are.
Right.
Why you're even here.
I'm a palm reader.
You are a palm reader. And this is something that I've not really dived into, but it spikes my interest so much. So before we even started recording, I was like, wait, want to read my palms? And within, I don't know, 20 seconds. You looked at them and you're like, okay, we can start. And I was like, wait, do you want to look some more? And she's like, no, I get it. I get you. I get your husband. I get Indy. Because, oh, that's the other thing we got to talk about. How I even got you on the show.
Well, here's the way I got on the show. First of all, manifested it. I'll show you. I'll send you a picture of where it's written on my manifestation list. I was like, I'm going to be able to wake up with Wesley in 2020. But I read Devin's palms. That's her name, right?
Devin? Okay. Devin.
It's spelled a little bit odd. But I read her palms, like one of the very first people that I did. And she was such an amazing person for me to connect with on that way. She was such a confidence booster. Mm-hmm. And then she just kind of became who takes over organizing your interviews.
Yeah, she's like my assistant. She's like a little powerhouse. Yeah.
And she, I can't remember if I begged to be on, that sounds like something I would do, or if she asked me, but I was like, this is totally kismet, because I've been simping for your podcast for a while. Like, I'm in your DMs pretty regularly. So
I knew who you were. I was like, wait, I know her. When Devin like approached me about it, I was like, oh no, I already know her. It's a yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, well, because I appreciate that sort of hustle and like, You continue to show up. Like, other people, I think that they think that that's a bother. To me, I appreciate that. Like, oh, this person, I'm terrible at getting back to people. But like, when people show up for me consistently and constantly, I'm like, yes, there is some real desire behind there.
Totally. Well, I want to appreciate, like, what you appreciate, you get more out of. Mm-hmm. Like, when you just passively listen, it's like, meh, it's a podcast. But when you really, like, tune in, it can be something really special.
Well, you're one of the people that make me feel like I'm not speaking into outer space.
Oh, I'm listening to every single word.
Thank you for that. Thank you. You're welcome. It means so much
to me. But so, that was how I got on the podcast.
And you're in the same office as Bronson and Indy.
Yes. Indy's been one of my, like passive but like strong bond but like never see each other friends for years now, and I recently got to read her palms for the first time, actually for the second time.
Let's talk about Indy's palms. I'm not even asking her permission. Okay. I'm gonna make like it, we're outing her.
Okay so you and Indy and Bronson, like there's a little like pocket of cosmic magic that all three of you are in. And when I first looked at Indy and Bronson's palms together, it was like two sides of the triangle came together, and I could see like almost a little bit of what you guys are creating. And then just looking at your palms now, that's why it was so fast, is it just like clicked into place.
Really?
Yes. So with Indy and Bronson, what's so interesting is when you look at their palms, they have a very interesting karmic relationship. Indy came here with all of the lessons that Bronson needs to learn.
And Bronson. Oh my gosh. I cannot tell you how right that is.
Really? Because I don't know them very well. Like, I honestly, like, I've never met Bronson before, like, 2 weeks ago. But Indy came here as this, like, really, she's an incredibly old soul. I think this is her last incarnation.
This is why people are like, how can you be best friends with the 23-year-old? And I'm like, because she's not 23.
Yes, she's not 23. You're not, you know, whatever, 30, yes, or whatever you are. She has this unbelievably old soul that came here. It was her past lives, if you believe in all of that, were very, very spiritual, very, very creative, very intuitive. She was like, I said this earlier, if I found out that she was the reincarnation of Gandhi, that would make sense to me. And I was so surprised looking at her palms, because we never see each other. So anyway, with her palms, I was like, whoa, you're so old. And then looking at Bronson's palms, he has this very, very consistent, analytical, logical, put things in boxes side to him. And that was almost like kind of who he came here as. And his lesson, like what he's learning in this lifetime, is tapping into that intuition and that spirit and that like surrendering to the universe and following the flow.
Holy shit, you are blowing my mind. I have known this about him. Like, he is very 3D. Yes. He is so material. Like, I think he's here to change the material world.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so it's crazy that you say that, because with their specific partnership, it's like an energy loop. Indy is the connection to spirit and abundance, and Bronson is the connection to the earth. And so together, they can manifest together really powerfully. When they're on the same page, when they have the same ideas, when they're excited about the same things, they can manifest crazy, because they both have that really strong innate connection to one and the other. And so when they meet together and they have this relationship, they can, it's like a direct line from heaven to earth, if that makes sense.
It's so, okay, they just both got a yin yang tattoo, and a yin yang is like my thing, like harm, take no shit, like, but they are literally two pairs. They're two of the people that I love the most, and people talk to me on Instagram, they're like, what's going on? they really think that, like, something's up. They're like uncomfortable. They're like, your husband and your best friend just chill all day together without you there. And I was like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah,
like, what
seriously?
Do you like? They, there's no, that doesn't make me feel weird mm-hmm. at all because I love them independently. Together, they make a whole crazy ass person that I think until you experience it like you did, you don't get it until you are with them together.
Absolutely. It very much surprised me. So, but when I was looking at Bronson's palms, that was where I was like, there's this third piece of the puzzle that I need to like see in order for this to make sense, which was you. Because with Bronson's palms, he couldn't be that conduit the way he is right now, like with Indy and in his life and everything else that we read. And specifically with being able to like process and release emotion, particularly for him, a very particular thing. And you can cut this out if it's too intimate of a detail.
I'm into it.
A very important thing is processing his emotions without drugs or alcohol or escapism tactics.
Yes.
So, and
wait, you could see that in his palms?
Yes. So for the two of you, there was like this before. We were talking about this when I was looking at your palms. Everyone almost has this before. You came here with gifts and lessons from past lives. And in this life, you're here to learn something different. You're not here to be the same person as you were in a past life. There are still things that you need to learn. And so for him, he came here as this very 3D, analytical, logical person. And for you, you had this need to be a partner, to not have to be to have an authority figure or a partner who is gonna like make sense of the world for you and mm-hmm. and you can hide in that. And that was your before.
Yeah.
And he needed you to step out into this after portion that I think you're in now, where you are basically stepping out as the star of your own show, the main character of your own life, doing things that really light you up, doing things against the status quo. And if you hadn't done that, he would always stay in his before. Granted, there might have been another conduit, but as far as what I saw, you were that person for him. If Indy and Bronson are like the yin and yang, you are like two little kids linking arms, skipping off into the sunset, like together. And you are like the fuel to his rocket ship kind of a thing. Or you're the rocket ship and he's the fuel. Like,
yes, that's how I feel. He's like the fuel.
Exactly. So it's a very different relationship. But when it made so much sense, because I didn't ever think anything weird was going on, but I was just like, what an interesting friendship dynamic between these three. Like, I love it. I hope they're all in love or something. Like, this is beautiful.
It's so weird.
And then seeing it laid out in their lines, I was like, this finally makes sense. You're not completed by one other person or anything. We're all here to teach each other a myriad of lessons. And it was just a beautiful dynamic to see, and so beautiful to see looking at his palms, how integral you were to his growth, and specifically tapping into his own spirituality and his own like creativity and growth, and being able to surrender and not know what's coming next. And then for you to see how imperative it was that you step into the limelight a little bit. And I think mm-hmm. that's why the podcast has done so well, is because it's just right.
Yeah.
You're just here to do this thing.
It's that is just so an alignment. Yes. You are blowing my mind right now. Okay, here's the thing. I've never felt so seen, but it's just, how do you see that in the lines of our hands? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is it an intuitive thing, or is it really written in our hands?
I think it's a bit of both. It really is written. So when I got into palmistry, let's tell that story.
Let's talk about palmistry. Like, what is the it's a technology.
Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh. This is the overall like basket that palmistry is in, aside from it's sacred to some cultures. It's very looked down upon in other cultures. I recently found out that a lot of witches and Wiccan are into palmistry. It's like a part of their culture as well. But for me, where I discovered it was in body languaging as a whole. That's like the basket that it's in.
Body languaging.
I don't know if there's a better term for it, but mm-hmm. if you've ever been foot zoned, which is incredible.
Yes, I just did that.
Oh, really? Was it amazing?
F'd me up. Seriously? Like afterwards, I was like, whoa, my body feels weird. Like it took me a week to recover, but in a really good way.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it just shakes up that stagnant mm-hmm. energy inside of you. And then another aspect of it is, I think our bodies are always speaking to us. I think I've heard a lot of yogic languaging around, oh, your body's just a coat. Your body's just temporary. It's not important. And for me, that's always felt blasphemous. I've struggled with my body my whole life. I had a debilitating eating disorder for like 13 years, almost died. And the one thing I took out of that was like, my body is a temple. I'm still going to get tattoos, but my body is this sacred, unbelievable. It's like the most important thing to me, which is hilarious because I'm not even one of those people who like is vegan or anything.
Yes.
Should be. Anyway, body languaging is essentially all of the different ways that our body tries to speak to us. So foot zoning is one. Pain in our body is another, like when just random aches and pain, sometimes chronic pain. I don't think every single illness is a manifestation of energy pent up, just so nobody like
freaks out.
Yeah, freaks out. It's not like it's anybody's fault, but there are a lot of times when we hold energy in our bodies and it can over time create sicknesses and illnesses. And then there's palmistry. So when I was like 13, I was a very, very, very insecure little kid. But I loved people. I loved touching people. And I loved being the center of attention. I was like this weird mix of hyper insecure and also wanted all eyes on me at all times. So I have this very distinct memory of being at a party and out of nowhere, I just announced to this group of 13-year-olds, I can read palms. I had no idea. I have no idea where I got that thought. I'd never heard about that. Word vomited it out. And we were raised extremely, extremely conservative, Christian, all of that. It was not something that was on my radar. And I just announced it. And everyone was like, okay, read my palm. So I snuck away to the bathroom and looked up the basics and did some little reading.
Like you Googled it?
Exactly. I read the WikiHow, which is honestly a pretty good place to start if you're interested. Like WikiHow, how to read palms. So I did that. And then almost to like keep up appearances, I started looking into it. And it immediately captivated me and fascinated me. And I love touching people. I feel like, which sounds so creepy, but I feel so connected to people through touch. It's my love language. And at the time, I didn't really realize how much I was feeling and intuiting through touching someone. So I just kind of went off on this. At first, it was very casual, just looking into things just to kind of keep up appearances as, oh, I have this cool talent or whatever. And then it became a bit more serious for me. I had some like lost years to my eating disorder where I was a shell of a person, a ghost of a person. And I didn't have any hobbies. I didn't have any interests. But palmistry was always kind of there in the background. I would do it at parties and I loved it. And physical touch was one of the only things that could really calm that painful raging storm inside of me. And so
Were you outed? Like, did people know you were struggling or was it completely closeted?
I think it was pretty closeted. I didn't have a lot of shame around it, but I just wanted to be left alone to do my own thing.
To get out of your way.
Exactly.
You need to be that solitude to do that well.
100%. I just needed to be left alone. It was my drug of choice. I have very distinct memories of high school, which is interesting because I have whole years that I just don't remember. Like 16 to 17, no memories. I don't know what happened. And I met my husband during those years. I have no vivid memories of meeting him or falling in love with him.
Holy shit. Do you think your body blocked it? Trauma?
I think it was honestly bad enough that I was dying actively. Like I was holding on by a thread. Anyway, and it wasn't necessarily closeted. I just wanted to be left alone to kind of do my thing. I never had any real shame around it or anything like that. But I have vivid memories of like lying to my parents. I could only go out one weekend night a week because they were very strict. And I would lie to my parents and say I was going to a friend's house. I would lie to my friends and say I couldn't come out. And I would go drive-through to drive-through and get food because it was bulimia, not anorexia.
Yes.
Maybe we should put a trigger warning on this. But I would go drive-through to drive-through, like six drive-throughs. I had like $30 ordering off the dollar menu in order to get my fix. It was my drug of choice.
Yep.
And I was so isolated for those years. But palmistry was always in the background and I just used it as a way to connect with people through that physical touch. And I never really gave it any stock until I started recovering and started getting my life back. And I guess my wake up, I would say, happened the first time I meditated, because my whole childhood I would pray like religiously. I was praying 24/7, always asking for somebody to answer, always looking for a sign, never receiving any. And I would bawl about it every now and then. I would like break down and be like, why am I doing this? I'm never getting anything out of it.
You feel bad, like you're not good enough, worthy enough for a reply.
Exactly. And I knew I never have ever truly doubted that God is there. I'm so like, I can feel it. I just never got an answer or any kind of guidance. And it was so distressing. And then one day I decided, I was reading a book, like a self-help book, and they were like, meditate. So I sat down to meditate for totally unrelated reasons. And it was like I've only seen The Matrix once, but you know, when he like wakes up for a second and then they put him back under and he's freaking out. It was like that for like a split second. My eyes were opened and I felt what it felt like to be whole and to not have my body and soul ravaged by my eating disorder and staying asleep and not looking for my own truth. And then immediately went back under, so asleep again. And ever since then, it's been like this sedation that I've been shaking off. Like, it wasn't like an instant wake
okay, up. Okay, the words you're using right now are so beautiful, because that's the thing, is that you do, and I love it when now podcast guests come on and they're like, okay, I know she wants to know about this, so I'm just going to deliver it. I don't even have to do my job.
Not me rehearsing this in my mind for a month.
No, but like, that's the thing. You have periodically moments of wake up in the beginning, mm-hmm. and then you go back sleepy. And sedation is the best word. I've never thought about that word with this, but it is. It's a mm-hmm. sedation, and it's comfortable. Think about that word. You're comfortably sedated, and then you have these big explosions of connectedness and like truth, and then you go right back to sleepy mode. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, what you said, you're coming out of it. It's yeah. a slow roll.
Totally.
I think that those big moments that you had in the beginning are so divine.
Oh my gosh.
Like, because it like showed you the possibility.
Yes.
Like it was like a grounding point where you're like, okay, I've been to the top of this mountain. I know what that feels like. So now I have direction. Like now I know where I'm heading.
100%. I think it's so dangerous. Not even dangerous. Like I think it's just really sad the way sometimes we get into these dark places for such a long time that we forget what it feels like to have light inside of us. Mm-hmm. And that's how we become numb. It doesn't even hurt anymore to be in so much pain. It's just like, this is life and I'm exhausted all the time.
It's your status quo.
Exactly.
I got used to feeling like shit. I totally. Was like, this is normal.
Didn't even question it.
I literally thought it was motherhood.
And people are brutal about motherhood. Like, I want babies more than anything. And every time I say that, there's some woman in the room who's like, don't do it. My kids ruined my life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is terrifying.
I really, really just thought, I was like, whoa, okay, this is what it's like to be a mom.
Yes.
This feeling of distress totally. All the time. But now I'm like, oh, no, it's the most, it is the thing that brings me joy, like absolutely. The most joy. It was just my own personal shit. I projected it onto my role as a mother.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in that like darkest night, I had that first moment of light in my whole adult life, because I was sick from 11 onward. So childhood to full on adulthood, like 19 years old, sick the entire time, barely functioning, barely growing as a person, to like having this visceral moment of, it was like I was in God's arms and I was whole. Like I was different. Everything around me was different and it was whole and it was perfect for this one moment out of absolutely nowhere. And that was just the start of trying to shake off the sedation and trying to wake up and trying to get out of that pit that I was in. So that's when I really started just kind of trying to find myself and trying to find my career and grow up as a person, because I had missed out on these pivotal years that so many people have. And was just kind of scrambling around looking for things and felt so incredibly lost. And like I was never going to be able to figure it out because I had lost such pivotal years to being so mm-hmm. sick, and always feeling like I was beyond hope. And even after like the worst was over, I just was like, I never got to be free. I never got to have a childhood. I never got to grow and learn and have fun. I don't know what it's like to have fun. I don't know what it's like to feel good. And I'm beyond hope. And so I went on this really kind of sad and not that interesting journey of just trying to find myself and doing my inner child work and trying to find the reasons behind why the eating disorder existed in the first place. And palmistry came in when I'd been doing it this whole time. And palmistry came in when I had the intuitive ping to sign up for a yoga teacher training, which is hilarious because I hate yoga. Like, it's too
same.
Slow.
Same. Right? Like, everyone thinks that I love yoga. I'm like, no,
you seem like a yoga person.
I hate that shit.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm a full yoga teacher. I'm getting my 500-hour certification right now and I hate it. But I love the principles and I love what it represents. So
I'm a yoga teacher and I hate
yes.
it.
And so I never teach classes.
Oh,
I never
you
do yoga.
Crack me up. I'm supposed this to be in, is so funny to
I'm
me.
I'm supposed to be in yoga teacher training literally right now.
Okay, but like, you are exemplifying everything that I think is like real about this space. Like, people think that they have to change themselves to fit into this like spiritual vibey stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh no.
Totally.
My favorite thing is still to eat Cheetos and watch reality TV. Pardon the quick break, but we are talking Truebill. So Truebill is an all-in-one finance app that helps you keep more of your money by wasting less. Truebill works by automatically categorizing your spending and identifying reoccurring charges and overpriced bills. And it helps you to lower or cancel unwanted services right from the app. So I've been using the app for the past month, and I will tell you, it has been illuminating for us, to say the least. Because first of all, So the setup process is easy. We synced all of our online banking and our business and our personal credit cards to the app and just simply let Truebill do its thing. Once it organized all the data, Truebill broke down how we're spending our money each month into categories, and it gave us like a clear picture of the inflow and the outflow of our money in a way that I've never seen it done before. The way it broke it down, I just had never seen it like this. And I was shocked about certain aspects of how we're spending our money, and then also pleasantly surprised by other aspects. And what it did is it gave us a clear map on what's really going wrong and what's really going right for us financially. And it led us to sit down and look at it and talk about, I don't know, it's just we figured out ways to make simple changes in our personal life to balance out these scales. And it was simple. And it was because it laid it out for us in a way that we had never seen it before. So another one of my favorite aspects of what Truebill offers to its users, among the many, is that they review your bills for you. Like say your cable bill or your internet bill, for example, like they'll look at that, and if they feel you're overspending on that specific bill, then Truebill will contact the company you're using and try to negotiate your bill down for you. Like, you don't have to do it. They'll do it for you. It is amazing. So you can download Truebill at the Apple app or the Google Play Store or at Truebill.com/Wesley. So that's TrueBill.com/Wesley. And you guys, finances can be scary. Trust me, I know. But the truth is they don't have to be, and Truebill can get you back on track in just a few minutes. So go to Truebill.com/Wesley or straight to the Apple app or Google Play stores and start taking control of your money today. Now let's get back to the show.
Yes.
That is still my most favorite thing.
Like, what is life? Like, I don't want to be a monk who never speaks and owns one physical possession and one robe and doesn't shower. Like, I want
about
to
that.
Live. Exactly.
Like, when I think of God, I really think of, like, okay, like, maybe a little piece of God is inside me. And I think the best part about this life is, like, we just get to live really big. And, like, God is like, yeah, girl, do that. Go do this. Go do this. Let's experience it. Like, I think he's stuck in heaven and he just wants to have fun, too.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Wow. So many head full of thoughts. So many things to talk about. That's exactly how I feel. Like, basically what happened with me and discovering palmistry was I just knew that there was nothing I was looking for at a certain point. I was just trying to remember something that I never even gave myself a chance to know about myself. And I got so bare bones with it. I was like, I like to chill and hang out with people and talk and touch them. Like, that was really what it came down to. Is like, I like that physical connection. Does that sound way creepier than I'm thinking in my head? Like, when I say I like to touch people, like,
it's, I mean, not, I like it. Okay. So it doesn't sound creepy to me, but there's people that are like, ooh, the thought to be touched.
I just
don't get that. I mean, I have empathy for them, but like, if I love you, I want to grab your bum in a non-sexual way.
Right. I just like holding people's hands.
Okay,
so
that's better.
I started yoga teacher training on this intuitive whim, and that was where I found people who were interested and gave me the freedom and the permission to explore that. And they wanted to know what I was seeing and what I was thinking and feeling. And I was around people who were discovering their spiritual gifts, and I was hellbent on being like, I'm going to see a ghost. Like, I'm going to have a psychic experience. I'm going to see something or see light. And it never happened. But when I could touch people, I just felt them. And I can sometimes feel what's happening inside of their body, like their physical pain. Sometimes I just can know things about them, like when I'm doing a reading and you just know, and you can't even put it into words. But that was what gave me the freedom to explore it. And then at the beginning of the year, the universe just, I still had no idea. I never intended to make it a business. And then the universe just literally dropped it into my hands overnight. It was literally like one day I was working in a social media job for a health and fitness company. And then the next day I was a full-time palm reader overnight. It was like, I can't even explain how the universe presented that to me. But anyway, it was more of a remembering of who I was and the fact that even though it seemed so insignificant and so incomplete to just say, like, I like to have fun and chill and touch people and connect with people and compliment them and tell them what I love about them, that became my livelihood. That is my purpose. And I was never incomplete. Even though I had very incomplete life experiences and I missed out on a lot and made a lot of mistakes, I was never incomplete. And I don't think anyone is. I don't think anyone is. I think we are whole and perfect the way we are, for real, like really, truly just enough.
Even in the pit parts.
Yes, even in the pit parts.
Yeah.
Looking back, like, I feel like now I'm totally at, like, the highest I've ever been. Like, right now, I'm just totally stoned. No, I'm at the best I've ever been. And looking back, I could have been this way the entire time. I was always this person. My shadow was always there. My light was always there. I was always my highest self in a human body, having a human experience. I was always whole and perfect. Anyway. So
then what? You just started to recognize that it was there. That's yes. Like what people, that people always write into me and they're like, well, how? No, you're just gifted. This is what you're meant to do. And I'm like, oh, no. Yes, we all are gifted. I do believe. Do you believe that every single one of us is born with a spiritual gift?
1,000%.
Because I do too.
1,000%.
And I think that people think like it just is like you get struck by a magical bolt of lightning and like certain people are gifted. I think everyone has a spiritual gift. And life is kind of like carving it out for you. And it's your choice whether you lean into it or you're like, that's weird. That's for other people.
Totally. I went looking for mine. And one thing I even had to like get over myself about that, because I would always hear people be like, it just happened to me. I just fell into it. This started for me and I couldn't deny it. And I was like, I fought for my awakening. I fought for my gifts.
Yeah.
I fight to be in tune with myself because it goes against my nature. By nature, like I will spend all day on TikTok and not feel bad about it.
TikTok. You are me. I am you. Like that is my humanness. My core humanness. I think the world is a lot for me. Like I think I'm a sensitive person and it's a lot for me. So if I was left to my own vices, I would be on TikTok from the morning or till night. I love it.
Oh, totally.
It's like the most my brain just video. Yeah. I love that shit. And it's not healthy for me. Like I would die, right?
What's your sign? What's your astrological
Libra.
Sign? Of course.
Are you Libra?
No. But that's so funny with what I'm seeing. Like, I looked at your hands and I was like, I'm getting strong Libra vibes because from your past lives, your lessons were all about like learning how to be a partner and like in hiding in partnerships and
hiding in the partnership.
Yes. And supporting somebody else, letting somebody else like rise and shine and everything like that. And then in this life, it's got more. We were looking at the fire spots on your hands. You're like lighting on fire is what's happening.
Yeah. Tell them what fire spots are because I've never known.
So fire spots, I don't think I have any. Everybody's lines are so different. So when I was reading your palm, Wesley, you have a very strong energetic field, which I feel like looking at your lines is something that you have built up and were not necessarily born with. Mm-hmm. You also have a very old soul. Your energetic field is very, some people you can't get in and some people you can't keep out. And then for you, it's like right in the middle. And so with your fire spots, they're on different parts of your hands and they just show parts that of yourself that you are lighting up and choosing to step into and basically where you're activating your power. So one of those is stepping away from the known and being a leader for other people to step away from what they think they need to do as well. And then another
fire spot. Well, that's right on the money, honey.
Another fire spot that you had was on your Mount of Apollo, which is your center of creativity and personal power. So again, just really stepping out of that partnership mode and that hiding behind other people mode and bowing to authority mode and stepping into, I know what's best for me. I am an individual. I can fight. I am alive. I am enough. And then the other one that we were looking at was on your Mount of the Moon or Mount of Luna, and that is your spiritual center. So that represents money, psychic energy, your connection to abundance, which actually very interestingly, there's so much energetic connection between money and how connected we are to abundance. And it doesn't mean that non-spiritual people don't make money, obviously, mm-hmm. or that they can't make good money, because we can be very unconsciously connected to abundance. It has a lot to do with your beliefs, but you have a fire mark there.
And it's new. It's new. I swear to you, I'm like, wait, that's new.
Oh
it's
my gosh.
New. It just that. Showed up.
So do you feel like you're really stepping into like your worth and knowing?
We were dirt. When I say dirt poor, like finding pennies to like go buy Taco Bell for our entire lives. Like we had 3 kids by the time we were 25, no college, like
really?
Insanely just always barely making it meet. And I consciously decided like 3 years ago, I was like, fuck this. Like, I think that maybe I'm creating some of this. Like, it was such a lack mentality with money. And the way I grew up, it was always like, my dad and mom made great money, but it was always like pinching pennies. You know, it just was like the way that I was raised and then the way that I had kids. And then I really did make a conscious choice to be like, No more. No more. There is enough in this world for everybody. There is more than enough for me. I'm worthy of love and trust and money and success. And yeah, now it's flowing.
What changed for you? Like, what was your breaking point of being like, absolutely not, no more?
This is feeling completely out of control and dependent on others for our lives.
Totally.
Bronson would pour and then hiding behind Bronson. It was always Bronson. Like, he would, I'm not even, there's so many stories. Like, people think they know, but I'm like, you have no idea. Like, promised huge, huge percentages of companies working without a salary for 3-4 years.
No.
And then right at the finish line, the entire, it just crumbles and we're left with nothing, nothing after years of work. And then being in rentals in California and then selling the house, like I just was never in control of my own life. It was always in the hands of bigger, more powerful men. Always. And I could see Bronson's worth and I was like, you're better. You're doing it all. Mm-hmm. Like, but he would never get the reward. So finally we're like, let's move to Utah. Let's do our own thing. And then by him doing his own thing, I was like, I think I want to do my own thing.
Oh,
like,
my
I
gosh.
Think you're great, but like, you're fine. Go fly. I think I want to like do my own thing now.
That is amazing. Do you feel comfortable charging? We don't have to put this in. Like, I know money is a way taboo subject, but it really is like there's so many interesting energetics.
Oh,
it.
Now I'm just now. OK, so now I'm in this abundance mode where like if it benefits me, that's good, because when I'm benefited, the listeners benefit.
Yes.
And when a more conscious group of people are awakening, then that benefits the system at large and the world. And then it's a cycle. It gives back to me. I give. It's this flow that I'm realizing is so natural. And why not tap into that?
Totally.
Why not tap in?
And I want to go back to what you said. Like you said, I feel like I created this. You did. And that's such a pivotal part of palm reading. It doesn't, nobody's life is written out ahead of time. Nothing is written in the stars. You're not forced to do anything. Sometimes it's helpful to be aware of like the ancestral trauma that is like maybe guiding you or giving you certain triggers or like the energetic push in a certain direction, just to be aware of it so you can combat it. But
wait. Okay. So it's like written on your hands, literally.
Yes.
Like your lines are there.
Yes.
But you're saying that you, it's almost like an indication like you have the choice and the.
Yes.
To switch it up.
Totally. So with a palm reading, I'm very intentional about why I give palm readings, because I think that there's danger in going to anyone and saying, what's going to happen to me? Take away my responsibility to myself and tell me what I need to do and how I need to do it and who I'm supposed to be.
I believe that that's dangerous. That's why I don't kind of feed into like the psychic stuff.
Yeah, I know. Every time I get a tarot reading, I'm like, or not really tarot reading. I never really do tarot readings, but like oracle readings, I'm like, if I don't like that, it's not mine. Like, I'm not taking on.
Yes.
I want you to tell me how to live. But with a palm reading, there are several things that I always try to keep in mind. And number one is that when something is holding you back, when you shed light on it, the dark gets lighter. So even if it's still hard, like not looking at something only gives it more power.
It grows.
It's like a hand inside of a puppet, you know? Like it just controls you. The more you don't look at it, the more you focus on the outside and what's happening out there, the less you are seeing what's going on behind the scenes and what's controlling you without your knowledge. And not that anybody is helpless to it, but we've all self-sabotaged and then sat there and been like, why did I just do that? Even driving here, I was like, I am not cool enough to be on this podcast. Like, I'm going to fake sick. Well, why did my voice just crack? Maybe I am. I was like, I'm going to fake sick.
I'm going to fake sick.
Totally. I'm like, I'm not cool enough for this. Like, self-sabotage, because we have these things that make us feel like we're not good enough. So when you look at the lines, yeah, you can see a lot of stuff. You can see ancestral trauma and what your role in it is. For some people, it's just to break away from it for themselves. And for some people, it's to end the generational curses. So that's one big thing for you. You inherited a lot of ancestral trauma.
Oof.
That played into, sometimes it just plays into your life like in your head, but for you it actually controlled a lot of your decisions for a long time.
Yep.
And you're navigating yourself away from that. You're carving out your own path. You're learning how to not worry about what other people think. That was a big thing in your ancestral trauma from what your lines show, is the fear of being abandoned and ostracized. And which you inherited from people who truly may have been abandoned. And so energetically, they're trying to give you this gift of being like, we're going to make sure Wesley never has to be abandoned by Bronson, because she's going to always put his needs first and make sure that he's taken care of. And she is just going to stay in this pretty little partnership role and not have to step into her own power.
But your higher self.
You are blowing my mind.
I'm glad, because it's awkward when people are like, no. That's not real. And I'm like, okay. Well, that's the other thing is when I do a palm reading, it's always take what resonates, leave what doesn't.
Okay.
Because even if I say something to you, if I were to be like, Wesley, you are setting yourself up for failure. Even if that's not true, which you're not, that's not what I read. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Even if that's not true, it gives you a chance to reflect. And that's what I always want people to do when they get a palm reading is just reflect and say, is this true? Am I setting myself up for failure? Because mm-hmm. a lot of the times we know, but we don't want to look at it. So when I do a palm reading, I'm always conscious of shedding light, take what resonates and leave what doesn't. But then the very most important thing is that you create your life. We have so much energetic power over our own lives. And if you're not seeing that, I feel like a lot of the times, like when I wouldn't see it, I just wasn't looking. I just didn't want that responsibility of being in charge of my own life. It's so much easier to just say.
It is so much easier to hop on someone else's ship.
Totally.
Take the wheel.
Yeah. And I can't do this because you're not doing that. That was one of the things that kept me stuck in my eating disorder for such a long time was I was waiting for some therapist or some guru to give me an answer and do it for me. Ugh. And I didn't have the power myself to get over this thing. It was just too hard. And I my turning point was, among other things, I was doing shamanic healing, which I really think was like the turning point. And then my grandma died. And I think she also on the other side was like helping me, which
she's
was
going
funny
to work.
We were not friends in real life. She was mean and I was mean to her. And then she died. And I was like, oh, thanks for the help. But I was on the phone with my mom and I was like, I can't do this. And my mom is very no nonsense. And she's like, you have to do this. You just have to. And I was like, I don't have enough money to go to therapy. I don't have enough resources to get a dietitian and do all the things you need to do. And she's like, if you really can't make it happen with, you can't get a therapist, you can't get a dietitian, you still just have to do it. Like, you can't let that hold you back. And that was, for some reason, just the way she said it, it clicked. And I realized, like, yes, there are tools. Yes, you have to do your inner work. Yes, you need help and support. If you're struggling with a problem like this, please get support. Don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you create your own life and you have so much more power than you think over your own life. And so when I read somebody's palms, it is all about putting the power back in your hands and saying, what are you creating? For you, when I'm looking at your palms, you are creating a very safe place for your children to have their individuality. You are fostering very strong spirits. You are bringing balance to your home through bringing balance to yourself. That's one of your spiritual gifts, is that when you are centered with yourself, you enable those around you to be centered as well.
Yes.
Especially with your kids and the way your energetic field envelops them. When you're at your when you're stable and sure of yourself, they have the freedom to be, and you're not passing on that generational trauma.
Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how right that is. When I healed, my children started to flourish.
Really?
Zuri, 4-6 years ago, would hide in her closet singing. Not even let her parent, like, and we're close, right? Like, we're tight. She's not shy around me. She wouldn't even come out of her closet to sing. I'd have to sneak little videos. And now she's like,
now she's performing.
Yeah. Like, it is my, and I really, what you just said resonates, because I think I had to be their little lead.
Yes.
In that.
So it's just the way your energetic field, like, it's a gift some people have. And I think I have a very delicate energetic field and my husband has a very strong one. And so I'm conscious of the fact that when he's going through a hard time and he is struggling, I can totally be there for him, but I can't use him as somebody to stabilize me, which in our partnership, he stabilizes me all the time. I have a very delicate energetic field and I take on other people's beliefs really, really easily. And so he's like the perfect person for me with this. So with yours, Bronson's is stronger than yours. So you have a lot of influence over each other, but yours is specifically for your children. You have enveloped your children and Bronson has enveloped you guys in like this, almost like a jawbreaker type situation.
Yes.
It's like Bronson on the outside, you're in there. Like,
yes.
And it's like this very warm, beautiful little cozy thing. Your soul age is also very apparent on your palms. I would say you're like, I don't think this is your last. I'm very into soul ages right now. I think they're very fascinating.
I feel like I'm an old one. I feel like I've been around here a few times.
I think so too. I think you're pretty close. I think it could be your last if you wanted it to.
I don't know. I like life.
I kind of
like,
too.
I think this is fun.
Me too. I'm like, who do this again?
I come
hopefully
back a few times.
Seriously. And then with your lines, your lifeline is, okay, so I want everyone to look at your hands. And there is a line that goes around your thumb. It's like the big line. The deeper yours is, generally.
Wait, show me on your hand,
okay,
this one?
right here.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yes.
So the deeper yours is, the more you are living your purpose. And if you have generally very light lines, like don't get worried and think that you're not living your purpose or something. But for you, Wes, you're totally like stepping into your purpose, like 100%. Your lifelines are getting so deep. It's so beautiful to see. Your line of intuition is insane. So, so, so deep, which a lot of people don't even have a line of intuition.
Really? Is it this one here?
No, I can. Let me come show you.
Here, I'll come to you.
Okay, okay.
We're walking here.
This is your line of intuition right there.
I like that line.
Yes. Okay. And so do you see how it's going up into your Mercury finger? Yes. This is all of your spiritual power, money, psychic energy, things like that. When you are tapping into your intuition, that's how you're going to find that abundance and that stability and be able to like use your gifts in real life. And the fact that it's there shows that you are already doing that for yourself.
Hell yeah. I love this palm reading stuff.
It is so... The thing that I love the most about it is, yes, a lot of it is intuitive. And I've intuited some things that I know to be true. Like I've learned how to read ancestral trauma from lines, which is not something that I've ever read in any book. But I swear to you, like I've never felt more confident about anything. Like that was downloaded into me. And it's been one of the more transformative things that I've put into practice for myself and for like my sisters and things like that is the ancestral trauma stuff. But a lot of it is just... It's a practice. It's an art. It was developed by people way smarter than me. It was evolved over thousands of years. And that's a huge load off my shoulders. Like, it doesn't have to come from just me. It's like thousands of
but
generations.
But maybe that's
and
why
cultures.
You're getting downloads about furthering it. Like, the exactly. groundwork has been laid, and now you can layer in your divine shit.
I hope to. I really hope to, just because I think that for me, bodies are just one of our most sacred tools in this life. I just got it tattooed on my body, the word sacred, because I think it's the most important reminder that we are, our bodies are just, they're so important. And it doesn't mean like, oh, you have to eat like a rabbit or anything like that, but just honoring your body and paying attention to when you feel nauseous, when you see your partner and you feel sick around them, don't be with that person. Mm-hmm. Like, don't fight through that. Don't fight through your instincts, whether they're emotional or mental or physical. Listen to your body and trust yourself. I think our bodies are so smart and so divine.
I do too.
And I think that's why palm reading works.
You know what it is for me? And I think that this is why I like a lot of this stuff. All it is a little bit of validation. It's not like a psychic. It's not fortune telling. It's just like, and especially with you and the ancestral lines, that to me gives me, it is like a load off, because I'm like, okay, there are heavy things about me. And sometimes I think it is me. And hearing that, oh, you have a lot of ancestral shit going on. It's like I can take a deep breath and be like, okay, it's not all my shit. Mm-hmm. Like I can kind of take it off or like step away, because
theirs. It's not theirs. Yours.
And I might be connected through DNA and just my genealogy, but it's not me.
Totally.
It's not me.
It's not yours until you say, I accept this and I'm going to operate in my life with this. And knowing that you have that ancestral trauma just helps you to release it by when that's triggered and when you feel yourself caring too much about what other people think and fearing abandonment for no reason from people that you know consciously will always have your back. You can just reassure yourself, that's theirs. Mm-hmm. That's not mine. And I'm releasing that not just for yourself, but for your kids and for people who have come before you to break that ancestral trauma and heal it all of the generations back and all of the generations.
You know how
forward.
I know you are 100% true blue, like the real deal, is I did ayahuasca, and I've talked about it on the show before, but in ayahuasca, I saw there was two lines. It was like I was like the point of a V, right? And I had an ancestral line and then like a spirit line. And I could go through this line and I could see my family, everybody, all the way back. People I don't even know. I don't even know their names. But I could see that there was like this same trajectory of like pain, suffering, bonding. It's always there. And it was as if it was like a tree branch. And me and one other family member were like a jutting out, like – different.
Yes.
Like different.
Totally.
Like the chain breaks with me. It's a part of my karma here. Like I am meant to break this shit down. And it is it's a lot of responsibility. I don't want it really. I'm like, man, why me? Why do I gotta do it?
But you're perfect for it. You are so perfect for it. And this podcast is part of it. Like, I don't even know what's going on in your personal life, like the ways that you are transforming your family. Like, I can see it, but I don't know the specifics of it. But even with this podcast, you are giving yourself permission to step out of hiding behind people, mm-hmm. and share that change with the world. And it's such a huge part of your purpose, I feel like, from what I'm saying. I don't ever want to like put that in your mouth and be like, so this is your purpose.
No, I feel it. I feel like this is a part of my dharma, because like, what else would I want to be doing in my life? Like, this is the funnest thing ever.
Totally. What is your human design?
I'm a generator.
Of course. What's Bronson?
He's a manifesting generator, which makes so much sense.
Right? I think generators need to be with like people who are the other ones. I think everybody needs a generator partner.
I know. My whole family is. So every single one of my kids is manifesting generators.
What?
And I'm the only So it's a lot of energy. Can you imagine the energy in this house? And everyone has their very own specific life path. And I'm like, and I'm so sensitive. When you were talking about my energetic field, like how it's open and closed.
Yes.
I've been so open my whole life and I feel it all, take it all, that it's I'm learning how to protect myself.
Yeah.
And I'm literally building up walls, but it's a fine balance because I don't want walls. I just want a protective shield.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now. So it's so funny that's the first thing you tapped into was you're guarded but open in a weird way. I totally am. I'm learning how to guard myself, especially with like now people listen and there's so many opinions. I'm like, okay, how do I absorb this and not absorb this?
Yeah. How do you? Like, do you have any practices keep yourself like protected?
I just really, so I talked to the Balanced Blonde. She said the most, she was great. She's like, listen, the positive compliments, they feed your ego as much as the negative ones. Like, you're in your ego when you're like having made up conversations in your head, like an argument, right?
Yes.
But then
and
like
winning the argument.
And winning. And you're like, I'm there. Here's this point, this point, this point. But then the positive ones, when you kind of take them in and purchase them, you accept them, it kind of does the same thing. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in this practice of loving what comes my way. If people love the show and they want to tell me, I'm like, thank you. That's so nice. But I don't really purchase it. Like, here's how I know if I like what I'm doing, if I like it.
Yes.
Do I like this episode? Do I like this show? If I like it, I'm like, hell yeah. I'm doing my right thing. I don't give a shit if anyone else cares.
Oh my gosh. How do you guide your children into that?
Like, oh, it's so hard. But my children are wiser than me. My children are more confident than me, like ever, than I was as a child. So I feel like maybe we'll have an easier time with this. They're little powerhouses. Mm-hmm. Like Remy walked in the other day. You guys, I don't even know why she said this, but she's like, Mom, when I'm older, I want to be homeless and I want to be fat.
What?
And I was like, Remy, why? What? You want to be homeless and chubby? She was like, I love chubby babies. I think they're so cute and I want to be homeless. I was like, why do you want to be homeless? And she was like, because I'll have a dog. All homeless people have dogs and they take their dogs everywhere with them. And I'm like, there's no dogs in this house. And she was like, well, I'll just be homeless.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, wait, what? And she is so confident in that choice. I was like, you want to be chubby? She's like, doesn't it just seem comfier? And I was like, girl, do you, as long as you're healthy. Like,
oh my gosh.
She wants to be homeless, chubby. And I'm like,
I feel like that's powerful. Like, when did we ever decide, like, why is babies are chubby and they're the healthiest ones of us? They're perfect.
Like, just as a mom, I'm like, wait, do I correct her here? Yeah. Do I say, no, you're not allowed to be homeless or chubby? I just kind of was like, she's 9. And right now she wants, I mean, when I was 9, I wanted to work at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So.
That sounds like the coolest thing ever.
Free burritos.
Man, getting outside of your own way to like, to let these little people like be free to be themselves, I feel like is the hardest thing. Like, I'm terrified of it.
I gotta interrupt you all right now to let you know about the Daily Shifts app. So I know that you guys have heard me talk about the Daily Shifts before. I've actually done 2 podcasts with the founder, Doug Cartwright. He is now one of the most nearest and dearest people in my life. And even if I didn't know Doug, I would have found this app. I would have used this app. I mean, it is life-changing. Back when I went through my spiritual awakening all those years ago, like 6-7 years ago, I was using these tools, but it was like so hard to find. I would be on YouTube and read books and fill up notebooks. And this app, The Daily Shift, has encompassed every single tool that has helped shift my life in a more positive direction in one simple spot. So to give you kind of like a breakdown, it's You open up the app and it reminds you in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening to go through these very, they're like beautiful processes. It's like, take a moment and breathe today. Look around. What made you feel joy today? This sounds too simple, but I think that's why it works. It just works. It trains your brain to just focus on the good. Take a moment. It teaches you how to meditate. It teaches you how to goal set. It has a history portion where you can see your progress and how you've grown throughout the days to the weeks to the months to the years that you've been on the app. And even better than the app, Doug is offering you guys, and he's never done this before, by the way. So he's offering you guys, the Wake Up with Wesley listeners, the Daily Shift Masterclass. So the Masterclass is a 75-page workbook. And with that, you get access to the Daily Shift's private Facebook group, which holds weekly challenges and a printable calendar. And the thing that is the most invaluable to me about that is the community. You're around the best of the best. So this is all for $99. If you want the app, if you haven't already downloaded it, you throw that in and you get everything there for $139, which normally this is over $1,000, you guys. You literally have a savings of $961, you guys. You got to take this offer up. So you can go to www.thedailyshifts.com/Wesley and start to shift your life. Now let's get back to the show. This is terrifying. Not accept what she said and not be fearful of it, because there's my very human self that was like, oh, you cannot be a chubby homeless girl. Like, you are the most beautiful thing. You have so much to offer. You can't do that. Like, my real human self was like, not my child. Yeah. My child is not going to be homeless. Like, that is devastating. But then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to accept. Like, that's silly. It's silly.
Oh, my God.
But that is motherhood in a nutshell, a fine balance of being like, not freaking out over your children's little tiny funny ideas.
I love that, though. I feel like you really are just such a balance. Like, the more free you are, like, you free them up to be themselves. Kids don't usually have that free spirit gets knocked out of them pretty freaking quick if you're not careful.
That's kind of my goal. Like, in that moment, I had a choice to be like, actually, Remy, that's like not what you should want. Mm-hmm. Or I could just laugh it off and be like, okay. And I think that that's like what kills childhood. Like, that little tiny thing of being like, oh, no. That's not acceptable. I feel like, I don't know, but maybe that really would be the thing where she internalizes that one little statement and she's like, I'm not free to be what I want in life.
Yes, exactly.
Girl, be homeless.
Totally. Honestly,
I hope you choose San Diego.
Yeah, go live in a van or something. Yeah. Like, that's, I honestly, let's go back to nomadic living, or let's go back to living in tribes. I think it is so weird.
I kind of think that that's what she means.
Right?
I think that in her limited verbiage, she just like knows she's my little spiritual one. Yeah. She is so spiritual. I just think that that's her way of being like, society, I don't think it's going to work for me.
Yeah.
Having a 9-to-5, I don't think is going to work for her. Ever.
Totally.
She probably will live in a van by a beach and be
honestly good
thrilled.
Life for manifesting generators.
Yeah.
Like, but I think it's beautiful that you're like the generator of the family, because you can like, you're that source, you're that connection to that divine energy to help balance things out for people. Mm-hmm. And I think that we all need that in some way.
Who knows, man? Weird life. So what do you think if someone's interested in getting their palm read? First of all, you can do this anywhere, right? Like, you don't have to be in person, like with me.
No. So I do most of my readings online, which is actually one of the most beautiful parts of it.
So how do they take a picture or something?
Yes, just take a picture. And it's not even harder to connect, especially now that I'm better at it. Mm-hmm. And we have like a conversation beforehand. But
is it a phone call?
They just send pictures of their palms.
Oh.
And then I'm a manifester, which we didn't need to talk about human design, but I absolutely love it. I think it's the most liberating thing. Like, it just gives you permission to be yourself.
I know. And I love manifestors.
But so I'm a manifester. And so I don't do the phone calls. I don't do appointments, because if I'm not feeling it, I'm not going to give somebody a shitty reading because I was holding myself to a schedule. Like, that's one of the ways that I honor myself, is I keep my calendar open. Mm-hmm. I commit to so few plans. So I get the photos, and then I, when it's right, when I'm aligned, I sit down, I take a long time looking at the photos, I open sacred space, I pray, I meditate, I let the messages come in, I look at the palms, I read the lines, I read what we write to each other a bit before a reading ever starts, I read what you've written, I sit there and I think about it, I spend most of the time thinking about it, mm-hmm. and then I type it all up and send it away, and so you can read it as many times as you want.
Oh my, they get it. They get it afterwards, they can keep going mm-hmm, back to
totally.
It.
Totally. And that's the most like validating, and like it is hard to not be egotistical about it. It's hard to not let it go to your head and feed your ego when people are like, this is so spot on and it changed my life.
Yeah.
And it all comes back to, it just came from you. It's a soul reading. It's not me knowing a lot and being so in tune and so cool. Like it is your soul begging, begging you to listen and begging you to give it the freedom it craves and it needs and it deserves to live the life that you're here to live. Overall, my goal with every single palm reading is you are enough, and the life that you want is the life that you're here to live. The person that you are is who you need to be to live your purpose. You're not here to spend your whole life correcting your, like eliminating your strengths in one area so that you can build your strengths in another and labeling a strength as a weakness. You're here to be who you are. Like, you are perfect the way you are. I wish that I could say that for the first time and have people be like, whoa, I'm mm-hmm. perfect, because I feel like it is truly so true that you are who you need to be at your core. And it's just moving the shit away and getting back to that who you are at your core. And that's my goal with every single reading. And no matter what you do, if you go to a psychic, if you get into human design, if you get into astrology, just remember that it's, you are the superpower in your life. It is about you. You are the most powerful thing in your life. No stars, no palmistry, no psychic, no ghost can come in and make you do anything. Like this is the you show. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's, Wesley, you are the power in your life. And yeah. everyone listening, you are the power in your life. Is this making sense? Am I totally
yes,
sounding
no,
so stupid right now?
You are not. And Kay, the other thing that I love about you is that, oh, this is what I think. This is where the world is shifting. How you just described how you take appointments. I would so much more rather prefer someone like you to be like, okay, today's not my day, and let me deliver to you what you actually need when it mm-hmm. is real and authentic and when I'm tapped in. Because I bet so many other people are like, oh yeah, it's here. I'm going to do it between my lunch break and here. And it's not actually like real.
Totally.
Because they're just like, I got to get it out. I got to get it out. I got to send this out. I got to do this. And it's like a machine. People turn into machines and they just start producing shit or saying the same shit over and over and over again, because we live in a world where the demand is so high.
Yes.
Perform, 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 deliver, 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 deliver.
And there's such a pressure to be productive.
Yes.
Especially when you're creating something from your heart. We're like, I have to sit down, I have to practice art for 2 hours or I'm never going to be an artist. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the more liberating things is I read my own palms all the time and just try to get to know myself better. And consistency is something that I've always struggled with. And I've labeled myself as selfish and lazy and flaky. And I was those things when I wasn't leaning into the fact that I am okay with who I am and I'm good enough the way that I am. And so now I don't think of myself as lazy. I think of myself as being able to prioritize rest and alone time. And I don't think of myself as flaky. I'm more intentional with what I commit to because I know that, why is my voice cracking like a 12-year-old boy?
Because what you're saying matters.
Okay, good.
It's literally a chakra like cleansing. Do you know that?
Oh my gosh, that's so good. My throat chakra.
Like you just said something blocked. That really matters. I swear to you, that's what happened.
Totally. I just had these labels that I put on myself that were so negative just to describe me. I just don't like having a full calendar. I like being free. I like my freedom. I like being around people who are okay with being spontaneous. I jive with people like that. Same. I like holding myself accountable to things that I care deeply about. I like being consistent with things that make me a better person and not just showing up to shit when I'm not having a good time. That was why I don't have a podcast anymore, was because I was doing it with someone who was very consistent and a hard, hard, hard worker and so reliable. And I couldn't be that. And it caused so many problems because yeah. I wasn't honoring the fact that I simply can't show up and bullshit my way through something that I care so deeply
because
about.
It turns into bullshit.
It
when
turns
you have
into
to
bullshit.
Be there, it, even when you don't want to be, it turns into bullshit. Yes. And then that probably feels like shit for you.
Oh, it felt like shit. I was not being respectful because I wasn't honoring it within myself. Yeah. Honoring it within myself would have been, you know, honoring my own boundary. I don't like having a full calendar. I don't like having to show up and have an entertaining conversation every week. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't honoring it in myself. So how could I begin to honor it with another person when their schedule is on the line?
Yeah.
And getting to know yourself is, I think, one of our most sacred obligations in this life, and just having fun, getting to know ourselves and having an adventure. I think you're totally right with, like, God just put us here to become a little bit more divine through being autonomous and doing what we want and making mistakes and learning. Mm-hmm. Like, hell no, I don't want to live through my whole life just doing the quote unquote right thing the whole time. I don't know.
I agree. I think we're really just meant to enjoy it.
Exactly.
And the narrative we're getting is struggle, struggle, struggle to get through. No. Right. You know, till the end? That was something I subscribed to when I was younger. Like, people had rings of that. Endure till the end. This life is so hard.
Yes,
heaven.
Yes.
You live to be in heaven.
Yes.
And I'm like, I just, like, what if heaven's here right now and I'm just having a whole lot of freaking fun?
Totally.
Like, what if you just flip that around? Like, let's have fun.
I never got the endure to the end thing. Like, it's so depressing for me to think of life as being endured.
Like, let's just endure this shit.
Right? Like, why not just, let's all drink the Kool-Aid and get this over with in that case. Like, what is the point? Like, let's bring the end faster if that's the point.
Yeah, who would want to live till 99 just enduring the end?
Totally, totally. When I married my husband, the first thing was we were together for 6 years before we got married. And so when we got married, it, like, locked it in. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is why people want eternal life. This is why people want to be alive for forever. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Life is amazing. I don't want this to end. And before I was like, God, take me now whenever you're ready. Like, I'm good to go. This has been great. This is enough. And then when I really started enjoying my life, I got it. And I was this is kick ass.
And then it brings more. Totally. More joy just brings more joy.
Totally. Is that like a real proven thing? Like, I want the science behind that.
Like, let's do a study. Okay, someone awesome. Pay for that study.
Totally.
What's that word people say, like, something begets? I need to look this up. There's like a thing, like, joy begets joy.
Oh, you know, yes, I know what you're talking about.
There's a more proper way to say what we're saying, but, like, yeah, let's just have fun and it will create more fun.
It's like that whole law of attraction thing.
Yeah. Okay, my dear, where can people find you? Because I know they're going to come a-running.
You can find me at Ashy Adams on Instagram, A-S-H-I-E Adams. And then if you want to follow my palm reading page, that is Honeyed Moon. And that's just, like, linked in my bio. You can just
Honeyed Moon.
On.
And then how do they make an appointment with you? Is it through that page?
It's okay. So I skipped the whole struggle part of owning a business and immediately went right to super bougie. And so now it's like, you have to be on a wait list.
Yeah.
And you have to DM me and I'll get to you.
Yes.
So
yes.
No, it's actually, it's
okay.
It's really very fun. Like, when I have my readings booked, I just give them my all. Like, I'm not on Instagram marketing myself. I'm not promoting myself. I'm not answering DMs and questions and telling people I'll get back to them later. Like, when I have my readings booked, I book out a month and then I'm palm reading for a month and I'm in my space. I'm in my zone. I'm giving it my 100% attention. So sometimes it does take me a month to get back to you, but then you get your reading and it's amazing. And people only need a reading like once a year because your lines change as you change. But, like, mm-hmm. how quickly do we really change?
I actually really want to take a picture of my hands and then call you in a year and see if anything's
changed.
Please
do. Well, it totally will change. I want to see more fire spots develop on
you. Oh my gosh. The fire spots, you guys, if you're wondering, they're like little tiny baby, like, freckles.
Yes, like red.
Like, if you have any little weird freckles on your palm.
Yes, exactly. I wish that I could give, like, an auditory explanation, but even saying, like, hey, if your line's deep, you're living your purpose. Like, I know people will freak out and be like, I thought I was living my purpose and I guess I'm not because my lines aren't deep. And it's like, just don't even worry about it.
Don't,
like,
worry,
it's
about
all good.
It.
Listen to your intuition.
Oh, wait, the last thing that you said, well, not on air. You said that I only have one marriage line.
Oh, yes.
So you can see that too. That, like, there's so much you didn't talk about because here's the other thing. It's so personal.
Oh, it's too personal.
She was like, I don't know how much you want me to share on air because it's so in-depth, so personal. Like, you can't broadcast this to everybody. And I was like, okay.
No, and there are times, one time I was at a party and I went to look at somebody's palms and I did not know her at all. And there was, like, eight women around and they were all drunk. And I looked at her palms and her marriage lines basically said that she needed to get a divorce, which is not something that comes up often. And she was in the midst of a divorce. So usually it's something that you want a divorce. Like, if your palm reading is telling you that you need a divorce, you already
you,
want a divorce.
You already are there.
Like, I wasn't going to look at Wesley's palms and be like, so, you went Bronson. So, yeah, you usually know. And it's just a bit too personal to, like, go into on air.
But, I mean, that is, like, people got to know how deep this goes. Yes. So, if you're interested, reach out.
Please do.
And you were so lovely to interview. I have
to say, you could rally.
I get why you had a podcast before. You can rally. You can come back anytime. You pick a topic. Let's go.
Thank you. I rehearsed this in my head for like 2 months, and I'm glad that we didn't mess it up this time. I've messed it up a bunch of times in my head, but
no, you were lovely. You guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Woo!